I believe on the board here we have a story of Elizabeth Moore. So I'm going to forego that story this morning. That's kind of the bread and butter of this, because there's a storyline that's happening in our nation today that's been going on really for the past handful of years. But there was a verdict handed down in Dallas, Texas, just this last week, of a young police officer named Amber Geyer. Amber Geyer, if you don't know the storyline, was a police officer. She, for whatever reason, mistakenly went into her wrong apartment and thought somebody was an intruder in her apartment, and she gunned down the young man. And unfortunately, she was convicted, fortunately or unfortunately, was convicted of murder and sentenced to 10 years in prison this past week. You might think off the top of your head, what does that have to do with any sermon whatsoever? What does that have to do with any biblical subject whatsoever? But the storyline behind that is what's making national news, especially this past week, because this young man who was gunned down's brother got up to the witness stand, or got called to the stand after the verdict was already mentioned. And his name was Brant Jean. And what he did was an act that is not even thinkable in today's day and age. It's one of those situations where think to yourself that this kind of act, this kind of behavior does not take place in our nation's society, let alone the entire world, because we are a very vengeance-hungry society, right? If you smack me across the face, I get to do it to you twice. Or if you steal $20 from me, my humanistic reaction is, well, I get to steal 40 or even more from you. But what this young man said is very, very interesting. He says, again, or he said, if you are truly sorry, looking at the woman that killed his brother, right? He said, if you are truly sorry, I know, I can speak for myself. He says, I forgive you. And I know if you go to God and ask Him, He will forgive you. Again, I'm speaking for myself, not even behalf of my family, but I love you just like anyone else. And he said, I'm not going to say I hope you rot and die just like my brother did, but I personally want the best for you. And he said, I wasn't even going to say this in front of my family or anyone, but I don't even want you to go to jail. He said, I want the best for you, because I know that's exactly what Botham, his brother, would want you to do. And the best would be to give your life to Jesus Christ. I'm going to say anything else. I think giving your life to Christ would be the best thing that Botham would want you to do. And it doesn't even end there, because shortly after making that statement, the young man paused and he looked to the judge and he said, ma'am, I don't know if this is possible, the 18-year-old said, but is there any way that I could please give her a hug? Such an awesome tale of events, especially from something so tragic that has happened in that young man's life, losing his older brother. Now, again, I don't care what side of the fence you're on. I don't care what side of the aisle that you're on, or if you think this was justice, not justice, or anything remotely close along those lines. I know there was riots and thinking that she should have gotten more than 10 years and all that kind of stuff. But the moral of this entire story is how that man reacted to tragedy and the things that came forth from out of his mouth. And so the thing that I want to talk about this morning is how we as Christians should learn from this mistake, or learn from this, certain say mistake, but learn from this whole storyline and situation, and think to ourselves what we can do when tragedy hits us, or maybe when any storyline or situation hits us. After all, we know that the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32, it says, be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Now, I'm only 35 years old, and I was baptized when I was about 14, 15 years old. And there's many other seasoned vets, we'll call them, here in the Lord's Church, here in the Waynesville congregation today, that probably know more storylines and more situations than I would do. But it is appalling to me to look back through the years and how some brethren have gone to spats with one another, and I am not exaggerating and I'm not making this up, for over 30 years. I know one instance and one storyline where there was a gospel meeting being held, and I'm not going to mention names or locations or congregations. There was a gospel meeting being held, and the one brother at another congregation said, "My intention is to come support you in this gospel meeting." Something happened. I don't even remember what it was, and this was before I was ever born, but the feud carried on to when after I was born. Something happened where that brother was not able to go and attend that gospel meeting and support that preaching brother in that gospel meeting, let alone support that congregation. Those brethren went 25 years not speaking to one another face to face, but would only backlash one another, talk negatively against each other via snail mail, or what we call snail mail, just by letters. And even as a young teenager, understanding this, I thought to myself, you have got to be kidding me. We are supposed to be ambassadors and representatives of the church of Christ, the church that God sent His only begotten Son to die for, and because one brother did not show up to support another at a gospel meeting, we now have a feud that has been going on longer than I had been born at that particular time. 30-some years went by before these brethren actually met face to face. Supposedly, forgiveness was offered to each other. Supposedly, everything had been buried. But I know one of those brethren has passed away now, and I don't know that they were ever on truly the same page. But that's not for me to know or for me to dive into. So as disciples of Jesus Christ, we have received the greatest forgiveness that could possibly happen to a human being, having our sins washed clean, having our mistakes gone by the wayside and not looked upon anymore. But since we've received forgiveness as disciples of Jesus Christ, as Christian soldiers for the cause of Christ, we've been given the responsibility now also to forgive others who might have harmed us or hurt us in our life. Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 6, if you would, please. Matthew chapter 6, and we'll read a couple of verses here, starting with verse 9. It says, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you of your trespasses." So we just read, obviously, verses 9 through 15 there. Jesus clarifies his statement, his verse 12 statement, in verses 14 and 15. Again, he says, "Forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors." Three different times here, in a short passage of verses, we read of the term of forgiveness, or the subject line, I should say, of forgiveness. So basically, in a nutshell, what we see here is God, you know, forgive us of our sins as we forgive others. And we understand in 14 and 15, Lord, that if you forgive men their trespasses, if we forgive men of their trespasses, you're going to forgive us. But if we're not willing to offer that forgiveness to others, well, Lord, we know that you will not forgive us, right? That should be crazy, easy, simple for all of us to understand. If that doesn't just breed off crystal clear in our minds, then nothing else will. Right? Our forgiveness is contingent upon us being able to forgive other people as well. And so it's directly related from the forgiveness that we are to give others, the forgiveness that Christ has given us, to the forgiveness that we offer and give other people as well. So when it comes to forgiveness, guys, when I read these passages of verses, this is something that Christians must get right. You cannot get it a little bit right. You cannot go in between. We all must get this right. There is no if, there is no ands, there is no buts, there is no excuses when it comes to us being able to forgive another person. Jesus Christ Himself was all about it. In fact, He exemplified this in His life. He made that example over and over and over again in His life. We see over in Luke chapter 23 and verse 34, it says, Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted His raiment and cast His lots. So here, Jesus, on the brink of being crucified for the forgiveness of our sins, all these people that are saying, all these people that are doing things wrong towards Him, He looks to the heavens and says, Father, forgive them. They have no idea what they are doing. And so many people might look to this situation and say, well, they never asked for forgiveness. Well, here Jesus Christ isn't about to wait for them to ask it. He's not sitting around waiting for them to acknowledge it or anything. He just says, God, they have no idea what they're doing. Please forgive them. Please don't hold this to their charge. And so what we see here is that not only did Christ teach on forgiveness, He exemplified it in His life. It's any time that you talk about Jesus Christ, you cannot help but think of the character of forgiveness. That's who Jesus was all about. In John chapter 8, in the first 11 verses there, hopefully this will come up on me here. John chapter 8, in the first 11 verses here, I'm not going to take the time to read it, but we see a woman that was brought before Him. And these guys looked to Jesus and said, hey, He said, we caught this woman in the very act of committing adultery against her spouse. So many times today we might think, well, that woman's goose is cooked, right? And now especially because she's brought before Jesus, and at this particular time, Jesus is writing in the sand, not paying a bit of attention to these guys. And so Jesus then, obviously, we know how the storyline goes, where Jesus basically says, he who is without sin, cast the first stone. And so the two guardsmen walk away. Jesus finally comes up and says, woman, where's your accusers now? What's happened to them? Has no man condemned thee, He asked. And she said, there's no man, Lord. And He said, you know what? Neither do I condemn you. Learn your lesson. Move on in your life, He says. He says, go and sin no more. I tell you what, in today's society, obviously fornication, adultery is a very serious offense, especially towards your spouse. But we don't even have to go that far. In today's day and age, if two people don't get along anymore, right? Maybe you've not been putting your clothes in the hamper the way that your spouse wanted you to, or maybe you haven't been cleaning the dishes the way your spouse wanted you to. You guys don't get along anymore, and all of a sudden, you know what? We have differences that are irreconcilable. We need to part ways. We need to not be married anymore. Totally contradicts what the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has to say as well. We just cannot. We are a society that looks at forgiveness as single-handedly the most difficult thing in the world that we can do. Saying two simple words of, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. There's three words for you, right? I'm sorry. So Jesus, that's who He was. Can you say the exact same thing? When somebody has done you wrong, when you and your spouse... Granted, I'm not up here because I'm the most perfect spouse, and just ask my wife, she'll tell you about it. But, you know, any time that we have quarreled, any time that we have had an argument or anything along those lines, we used to have a rule, but that's before we had kids and we needed our sleep, but we used to have a rule that we would not go to bed with a conflict still out there, right? We would have a conflict resolution because forgiveness is important. Being able to rehash things over and over and over again almost is a really easy thing for us to do. But so oftentimes, saying I'm sorry is difficult. It's easy to say that we forgive, but are we showing that in our lives? How many times do you see a situation where somebody says, hey, I'm sorry. Hey, man, it's good. No problem. Don't worry about it. Let's move on. Only for the next day that to be brought up once again. One of the most shameful things I've ever seen in the church. I've seen somebody come forward and make their desire known that they need a prayer for the church because of X, Y, and Z, whatever has happened in their life. A month goes by and a fellow Christian says, hey, You remember when you did X, Y, and Z? Don't do that again. You know, bringing this up, rehashing it over and over and over again. It's ridiculous to see that kind of mentality happening, continuing to happen in the Lord's church today. But forgiveness in our lives, right? We are the disciples of Christ, and He expects this of us. He demands this of us to be about the business of forgiveness. Do you think that young boy who's brother was gunned down and murdered for nothing that he did wrong of his own, right? It was the police officer's or the young lady's fault that thought she was walking in her apartment, thought there was an intruder, and gunned the man down cold blood murder. Did he have a right to look at that woman and say, "How dare you? I will never see my brother again because of you. I will never be able to talk to my brother again because of you." Do you understand the heartache? Do you understand the turmoil that you've caused my entire family, let alone my parents? He had every right in the world, humanistic right in the world, to just say whatever he wanted to, derogatory towards that police officer. Yet he chose a road that so many Christians in the Lord's church today have never even walked down themselves. He chose a road of forgiveness. He chose a road of introducing Jesus Christ, not only in that courtroom that day, but to our entire United States of America. Chose a road that so many of us are too cowardly to go down ourselves. We have to be about the business of forgiveness. People should know that we are all about forgiveness. They should think to ourselves, man, have you ever... Well, and there's been people in the church, there's been people at work that I know of this that fits this criteria as well. But there are people that you think to yourself, I don't want to make them mad. I don't want to set them off. I don't want to say the wrong thing. There was a time I'd have to walk into a congregation before I almost felt like I was walking on eggshells. Don't look at that person wrong. Don't say the wrong thing to that person. Because then when I do, they will get set off. If I meant to do it or not meant to do it, right? It will set that person off. On the flip side of that, has somebody ever looked at you and thought to themselves, you know what? Such a good person. Even when I do make mistakes, they could care less. They love me unconditionally. They see the goodness in me. They see that I'm trying. And they know that when I do make mistakes, I'm not doing it because I want to do it. I'm doing it because it's a mistake, right? That's who people should look at when they look at you. When they look at you and I, they should think, hey, something special about them. They don't fly off the deep end. They're not somebody I have to walk on eggshells around. They're not somebody that is going to constantly remind me of my past mistakes and things that I have done in my life. That's how people should know us, because that's how we know Christ. Right? We know Christ to be the ultimate forgiver, to the point that He was murdered for our forgiveness. People should know that we're not out to hold grudges. Boy, have I seen grudges held between brethren in the church. Good night. And it's over the silliest, most ridiculous things I've ever seen on the face of this earth. And sisters in Christ on top of that. You see these grown, supposed to be mature, veteran people in the church that go to war over these silly, ridiculous things. But yet you look over and see a 4- and 5-year-old that are hugging on each other after just spatting over a toy for 5 minutes. And it's genuine hugging each other. It's not a forceful thing, right? It's mind-blowing. And you wonder why Jesus had such compassion and such love and admiration towards young children. And He says, except you humble yourselves like this little child, you will not inherit the kingdom of God, to paraphrase. Oh, the lessons. And it's a lesson in and of itself that we can learn from children, but especially when it comes to forgiveness. People should know that we as Christians are not one to hold bitterness, not one to hold resentment, or anything negative when it comes to forgiveness in our hearts. People should know, yeah, they are a Christian. They are a forgiving people. They're not one to hold grudges. They're not one to hold anger or contentment or bitterness and wrath in their heart because of a situation. And I know right now, if I would say, and I think we'll talk about this in a little bit, think of that person. Think of that someone right here, right now, that comes to your mind that has done you wrong? How do you truly feel about them? How do you truly, deep down inside, truly feel about them? And some of you might ask yourselves a question, what exactly is forgiveness then, right? How do you define forgiveness? Well, this is how I define it. And that's the decision to cancel a debt, the act of the will, and a choice that we all make. Listen, I consider some of you guys in this room some of my very best of friends, especially in the Lord's church. And if somebody were to do me wrong, very, very wrong, for whatever the case might be, I have the responsibility to forgive you. Now, that doesn't mean that the true and proper definition of forgiveness does not mean everything must go back to being the way that it once was. Right? All what I'm saying is when I forgive you of that trespass that you have committed against me, I'm no longer holding that to your charge. I'm no longer going to look in you in that light and say, that situation is no longer valid between you and I, right? The deed is done, it's done and over with, we're moving on. Now, that doesn't mean that I have to go back to being your best friend anymore. That doesn't mean that you and I and our relationship is going to be as tight or as close as it once was. But in my heart of hearts and in my life and in my soul, if I say that I have forgiven you, I no longer am holding that against your charge anymore. Now, how can we say that? Well, obviously, when you think about the Bible, what the Bible says about marriage, divorce, remarriage, right? The Bible says that we have just cause if our spouse were to commit fornication, were to commit adultery against us, that I have just cause to be able to put my spouse away or me be put away for that matter. I still think in my heart of hearts that I need to say, hey, you know what? That was really terrible, horrible situation. You know, this marriage is over, but I forgive you. And we have to now separate and move on. That doesn't mean our relationship goes back to being the same, but I do forgive you. Obviously, there would be trust factors involved. There would be trust issues involved and things along those lines. But the whole concept of forgiveness is I have made a decision to cancel that debt. Right? You might owe me $20. I forgive you. And you haven't paid me in over a year. I forgive you, man. I don't want that $20 back. You know what? It's yours. Take it. Go with it. In fact, if you need more, let me know. That's the whole concept of Christianity and on forgiveness. Why then, brothers and sisters in Christ, do I need to forgive? Well, when someone wrongs me or someone hurts me in some way, they take something from you, don't they? If you've had a credit card stolen, or maybe you thought you deserved that promotion at work and someone else got that from you, and so on and so forth. We know what that hurt feels like. We know what that disappointment feels like, especially if it comes from somebody that is very close to us. If it's a family member, if it's a best friend of ours, if it's a neighbor that we've known our entire life or what have you. But our response needs to mirror that of the young boy in that courtroom just last week. Our response sometimes, unfortunately, is, I'm going to get even. I'm going to settle that score. I will hold that grudge over you for the rest of your life. And that, unfortunately, is what we see in today's society. But even if you got that item back, you still carry what we'll call, what we'll call that emotional baggage on that person. So we must decide if we're going to forgive or not. And if we do decide to forgive, you take that baggage to the curb and let the garbage man pick it up and you don't ever worry about it again. But again, I go back to say this again, unfortunately, you just don't see that happening on a consistent basis in the church today. So I've got then to make a choice. And my question that I have to ask myself is, will I forgive? Will I forgive? And this will be our last slide that we'll cover and then we'll finish the lesson. The second half this morning. Will I forgive? You know, I can choose to hold that grudge, to remember that obligation, to hold that debt over that person. That is my humanistic right, society tells me. Or I can choose to set free that obligation. Let me go back here. Set free that obligation of what has been said or done or taken from me. I release that debt and I forgive. Forgiveness is easier said than done at times, but is required from Christ. And quite frankly, brothers and sisters in Christ, that's the right choice that we all need to be making. So at the next part of this sermon, I'm going to talk about conflict resolution and talking about, and based on Matthew 18, we'll dive into Matthew 18. We'll stay there for the remainder part of the sermon. But I want to talk about conflict resolution and how we can overcome conflict, both within our marriage, both within personal relationships, work relationships, or whatever the case might be. So if you're in the audience and you need to, the prayers of the saints, this is an opportunity for us to pray for you that your sins would be forgiven as it pertains to forgiveness and or not forgiveness. Or if you are not yet a Christian and you have desire to become one this morning, we can assist you with a change of clothes for both men and women. We can assist you in baptism today. And we encourage you to take that opportunity while God has given you that opportunity. If we can help you in any way, please let us know. While together, we stand and sing the psalm of invitation.